For most of you listening to the Orthodox Christian Hour today, this is Easter. And in very good Orthodox fashion, I'm going to give you an Easter greeting. And our guest today in the Orthodox Christian Hour here in our studios is Father Peter Gilquist from Santa Barbara, California. And he's going to give the reply. So to all of you who are celebrating Easter today, we say, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Welcome to the Orthodox Christian Hour. The Orthodox Christian Hour is brought to you by St. Anthony Orthodox Christian Church, 4321 Eastgate Mall in the University Town Center area of La Jolla. In a moment, the pastor of St. Anthony, Father John Braun. But first, a bit about Father John. The son of a Presbyterian minister, Father John spoke to literally thousands of college students all across the U.S. and Canada as he worked with Campus Crusade for Christ. Later, he would join seven other courageous evangelical Protestants involved with Campus Crusade who risked stable occupations and security in a search for the historic church founded by Jesus Christ. Amazingly, all came to the same conclusion, that the historic church exists today in the Orthodox Christian Church. Father John, as you will hear, is a gifted speaker and authority on Old and New Testaments. His journey has included being director of the Department of Campus Ministry for the Archdiocese and starting many new churches through his work in the Archdiocese Department of Missions and Evangelism. In 1994, he was the founding pastor of St. Anthony Orthodox Church in La Jolla. Today, the Orthodox Christian Church is the second largest Christian church in the world, with over 300 million members worldwide. And now, Father John.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
That is the traditional greeting at Easter time for Orthodox Christians all over the world. And by the way, the reason that today is not our Easter is simply because of some calendar differences that really aren't all that crucial. But it is the desire of Orthodox Christians around the world to all have Easter on the same day. And since, for example, Russia is on what we call the old calendar, about 100 million Russians celebrate Easter today, or next week, I should say. And that's when we'll celebrate Easter. But the greeting for centuries has been, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed is the reply. And that greeting is given over and over and over and over. And if you're thinking I'm saying over and over and over a lot, it's because we do it over and over and over a lot. And it's marvelous because the greeting, Christ is risen, is so much more powerful than the common greeting, hi, or hello. No, Christ is risen. What a remarkable greeting. Now, we have Father Peter Gilquist with us in the studio today, and Father Peter is an Orthodox priest. He's the director of the Department of Missions and Evangelism for the Antiochian Orthodox Christian Archdiocese of North America. He's been an Orthodox priest for the last 16 years. He's had a rather colorful life. He spent 8 years with Campus Crusade for Christ in collegiate evangelism and had a remarkable career there. He was the senior editor for Thomas Nelson Publishing Company for their books that they did for a number of years, and was part of a journey to orthodoxy of many, many, many evangelical Christians. So, Father Peter, it's really nice to have you in our studio today. I would like you to just say hi to the folks that listen to the Orthodox Christian Hour, and I want you to tell us what Easter means to you more than anything else.
Well, hello. It's good to be back again. I went through a lot of phases in my life regarding Easter. As a kid, it was always a really happy time. And Often my dad would take me down to a department store in Minneapolis and buy me a new outfit. And, you know, that outfit spoke of the fact this is a special day. I went through a period of my life where I kind of played down dressing up on Easter, and now I'm back on it again because it sets the day apart as a day that is above and beyond almost any other day because it's the day that Christ rose from the dead. And so that was childhood, very pleasant. And then I went through a period as an evangelical Christian later on where we said every day is Easter. Every day we celebrate the resurrection. And that's really true, except when you get into that mindset, it turns out that no day is Easter. Because if every day is something, then it's no longer special. It'd be like saying, well, every day is my 25th wedding anniversary. And, you know, that I'm supposed to love my wife every day like I do on an anniversary. And again, you know, there's no problem with that other than once you undemarcate something, it tends to just fade into the background. The thing I love now as an Orthodox Christian, not even as a priest necessarily, but just as an Orthodox Christian, is that the church doesn't just remember Easter, it does Easter.
You need to explain that. I understand what you mean, but you need to explain that.
Well, for example, you've got the days of preparation, which we call Great and Holy Lent. And we enter into a time of fasting, a time of heightened awareness of giving to the poor called almsgiving, a time of forgiveness, time of prayer. By the way, all this is in Matthew chapter 6, which is the opening salvo of for the gospel for exactly right before Lent begins. So you're going through a 40-day period of being sensitized to what's about to happen. And then the day before Palm Sunday in the Orthodox Church, we call Lazarus Saturday. And it's the day that we remember Christ raising Lazarus from the dead. And the reason he's so important is because most of the resurrections the Lord performed were people that had just died. And Lazarus had been dead, 4 days? And, you know, the old King James Bible says he stinketh. In other words, he was decomposing. His body was decomposing in the grave. And the Lord brought him back. And the reason that means so much is every time I go to a funeral, Father, it looks so darn final. You know, you see the body in the casket, and it's lifeless. And we just buried my dad at 95. And I gave a short meditation at the funeral. And I said, I'm so happy to announce to you what you're looking at today is not the final chapter, because Christ rose from the dead. He pulled Lazarus out of the grave after he had physically begun decomposing and restored him. And then, of course, you've got Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry, and then Holy Week, you've got, you know, the trial, the Last Supper, the nailing on the cross. And in the Orthodox Church, we have an icon, a cutout icon, if you will. In our parish, the body is probably close to 6 feet tall, maybe 5.5. And it's literally hung on the cross. And the first year I experienced it, I couldn't get through it dry-eyed. I knew all that stuff mentally, but to see it done is just powerful. And then, of course, when he is dead, he's taken down off the cross and laid in a grave or a tomb, which is actually on top of the altar. And then, of course, Sunday morning you walk in and the candlelight spreads throughout the church. And it's way more than mental. The light is there. The lights are on. He's alive. The tomb is empty. And So in other words, rather than just thinking it through or even only hearing about it, which is way better than nothing at all, obviously, you've got the reenactment. You walk through it with him. There's that old hymn, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" And I'd have to say no. I was there historically and in memory, but in the church, we are there when they crucified him. We're there when they buried him. We're there when he rose again on Sunday morning. And so Easter is an annual re-entry into the great reality of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it takes it a step beyond just the preaching and teaching of it and brings it into the realm of what's so popular on TV today, that is reality. It's real.
You know, it's really remarkable that you would say these things, because what you don't know is that for the last several weeks since the beginning of Western Lent on the Orthodox Christian Hour, this is precisely what we have talked about, that we're encouraging the people. I've challenged the listeners to prepare for this season so that they can participate in precisely the way in which you have described it. You know, there's also times that when I think about that, I don't know if it falls in the category of a spiritual, but of the song you raised, the memory of, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" There's actually times that I wonder if the very simplicity of that song doesn't give it doesn't at least intimate that whoever put that together, and I don't know where it came from, had at least some idea that it can be participated in. Mm-hmm. And we do this, as you've described, through the mystery of liturgy and sacrament. It's almost a redundancy, because the way that would actually have to be said to be technically correct, through the mystery of mystery and mystery, because sacrament means mystery. Mm-hmm. In Greek, it means sacrament's just the Latin term for the Greek term mystery when you translate it out of the New Testament. And it is a mystery. How can we in the 21st century participate? How can we go to the tomb with Mary Magdalene? How can we do that? Well, we can. It's a mystery, and you've essentially just described it as your own personal experience. I would like you to take another step. Now, there's a little, I didn't even warn you on this, but I'm going to ask you how you understand Easter theologically. What does the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead mean to you, looking at it from a theological point of view? You've asked, and you responded to my question, what does it mean to you, you know, on a personal level? And that's crucial. But I believe there's also some very important things on what we would call a doctrinal or a theological level. How would you respond to the meaning of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, doctrinally or theologically?
Well, of course, the place I guess you go to begin, other than the creation of man itself, would be the fall. Man was made to experience life with God forever. And when sin entered, death came. And now, rather than this immortal creature, now he's subject to sin and corruption and death. And it all looks so hopeless. And of course, in the scripture, in the Old Testament, you've got these wonderful glimpses, such passages as, "I know that my Redeemer lives." And other indications, some of the passages, for example, in the book of Isaiah, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." In other words, the hope of forgiveness. And then I love that place in the Nicene Creed where we confess Christ as light of light, the Father is light, the Son is light of light, God of God, the Father is God, the Son is God of God. And then you've got that phrase, "Who for us men in our salvation?" He came down from heaven. was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. The fact that he didn't need to come, in other words, he gained personally nothing. He laid aside the glory that was his in the presence of his Father in the heavenlies and came down here as a man without ever diminishing one iota his divinity, all for us, because of his love for us. And that's really hard for me to get through on Sunday morning, just the magnitude of that God would come for us, God the Son would come, and to subject himself willingly to the crucifixion to be our sacrifice for sin, and then, of course, to rise again on the third day just as he had predicted. So through his resurrection, he brings us back to life everlasting once again. And, you know, we have hope. There's a reason to live. That simple phrase in the gospel, because he lives, we shall live also.
You know, it's really interesting. There is a hymn that you're aware of, but most of our listeners aren't, because I would assume the vast majority of our listeners are not Orthodox Christians in the sense of, you know, Orthodox with a capital O. Many of them are Orthodox with a small O. Maybe the vast majority are in that regard. There's a hymn that we sing in our earlier morning service on Sunday. We call it Matins or Orthros, which, you know, the
morning prayers.
It's the morning prayers. Mm-hmm. And there's a hymn that's sung probably, I've never counted the number of Sunday mornings, but it's, you know, Sunday is a little Easter. It is a celebration of the resurrection. And there's a hymn that we sing about probably 40 or 42 of the Sundays of the year, where one of the lines is raising up Adam, mm-hmm, and releasing, mm-hmm, all men from sin. And every time I hear that, actually, we call it the, if you were going to, it, sometimes it's given to us in a foreign language, it's called the Evloiataria, that's Greek, because if you put it into English, it's just the blesseds, because that's what Evloiataria mean, it's the blesseds. And so we sing, and it's because the refrain in the hymn is, blessed art thou, O Lord, It's just so remarkable, raising up Adam. You know, I'd like to also ask you to comment on this. You know, when the apostles began to preach after the ascension, and even Jesus, before he ascended into heaven, named the apostles as witnesses of the resurrection. Father Peter, why do you think that the preaching of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead was so crucial in the preaching of the 12 apostles immediately after the day of Pentecost? Why was it so powerful to witness to the resurrection of Christ? Why was it so central in their preaching?
Well, of course, you know, they were promised by the Lord that he would rise again. After his death, they basically dispersed for a time. And then when the word got out on Sunday morning through the women that came to the grave that he was gone, that he was alive, that he was out of there, it must have blown them away. I mean, I try to put myself in their shoes, and it's hard to do. But this was the most dramatic event in all of history to this point, and still. That this one who claimed to be the eternal Son of the Father, who claimed to be God in the flesh, after having, you know, endured the death on the cross and the burial in that borrowed tomb, now on Sunday morning, was back. And, you know, it changed their lives. It gave them a courage, I think, to... you know, they say in football, the coach will say in halftime, guys, leave it all on the field. The resurrection made the disciples leave it all on the field. I mean, it was the only thing that from there on, uh, uh, I was to say motivated them, but it empowered them to know that this one that they loved and worshiped was truly God, because he conquered death and hell.
You know, you used a word that really triggered something in my mind, empowered them. Mm-hmm. I don't know how old I was when I memorized the passage from St. Paul, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. I'm sure I was probably in the neighborhood of 12 or 13 years old when I memorized that, and it's just been a part of my being ever since. You know, you memorize that stuff when you're children, and it just goes into you forever. And here, you know, 60 years later, it's so easy to just bring it out. But there's power in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, I think it's fair to say that no power that has ever been demonstrated in all the history of heaven or earth is as great as the power as it took to raise Jesus from the dead. One of my favorite passages of the scripture is, you know, is from the Paul's letter to the Ephesians, where it says, he led captivity captive, and he raised him high above all thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, names named in this age and in the age to come. And I have this vision in my mind, this picture in my mind of Jesus just storming through hell.
On great and holy Saturday.
Oh, yeah, just, I mean, he wastes the place. They're having a big celebration. I'm just, this is conjecture. I mean, this is sort of almost silliness on my part, but it's the point isn't silly. But I see him there just blasting hell to smithereens.
After the devil thought he had it.
And they were having a party down there. They thought they'd won. Yeah. They'd killed the Son of God. They'd won the thing. And all of a sudden, wham! Oh, and he storms through the place and he wastes it all. Principalities, powers, not just names named in this age, but names named in the age to come. And he didn't just raise him up, but he raised him up high above all thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, names named.
It wasn't a squeaker.
Oh, no. And I mean, the victory was devastating to hell. And I just love that.
And if I can toss in there, the thing that we do know that isn't conjecture is that Sunday morning he wasn't the only one raised. There were saints tromping through the streets of Jerusalem.
Oh, I love
that had
it.
Been captivated in the grave, who knows, for centuries. And here they're up and around and people saying, my, oh my, look who's here. So, beyond the conjecture thing of it, and of course we weren't there and can't give a firsthand report, but here some of the saints were back as well.
Probably, but what we really do believe, folks, is we believe that Adam and Eve were raised that
exactly.
day and taken to heaven.
By the grace of God.
Right. Yeah. Not for any merit, because they were sort of at the root of the problem, but by the mercy and grace of God, they were raised. Captivity was led captive. Mm-hmm. What a marvelous thing. And that incident that many of us, it isn't that we didn't want to underline it in our Bible. We just, you know, did it really happen? Were those Old Testament saints actually raised from the dead? That's an important issue. Mm-hmm. That's important because it makes it really clear to us that it isn't just he.
Right. Right.
That gets raised from the dead.
That's why we can stake our lives on it, Father.
You know, describe, would you, the resurrection.